Welcome, everybody, to Health, Wealth, and Divine, also known as Jawanza for Life. My name is Jawanza. It's a beautiful day, and I'm glad that you could join me this afternoon to we're going to call this a special show. I mean, all of the shows are special, and every time I have my guest on, who's going to be my guest for this evening, it's always a special show. But this is an extremely special show because I'm going to call this a launch. We're going to be launching today a brand new series and a brand new book. For a lot of people out there who've been following my shows for a while, you know that Professor Joseph T. Geiger, author and entrepreneur extraordinaire, is a regular on the show. He's been coming on, and we've been discussing his book called Entrepreneurial Success, 102 Business Principles, The Road to the Top. Well, Professor Geiger has a brand new book out, and I guarantee you that you are going to find this series that we're doing very, very interesting, and I want to encourage everybody, if you think that the last book that we've been talking about by Professor Entrepreneurial Success, again, 102 Business Principles to Road to the Top, was good, then you're really, really going to find this next book very, very informative, and I guarantee you that you're going to find some of the things that we talk about very, very interesting. It's going to blow your mind. We're going to get into some statistics and everything, and it's going to really, really blow your mind, and I'll tell you a little bit about Professor Geiger. If you're just tuning in for the very first time, then I want you to go back, tell you about the archives, and check out some of the shows with Professor Geiger. Again, we're going through his book also. In addition to this new book, we are discussing Entrepreneurial Success, again, 102 Business Principles, The Road to the Top. But for those of you who are tuning in for the very first time, Professor Joseph Geiger grew up on a Kansas farm and graduated from the School of Business at the University of Denver. And over his lifetime, he has started over 10 businesses, two of which predated his college graduation. After his second retirement, he taught entrepreneurship and small business management. And in order to help people to succeed in business, he wrote Entrepreneurial Success, 102 Practical Business Principles, The Road to the Top. And he now lectures and teaches seminars at the University of Richmond, located in Richmond, Virginia, where he currently resides. Well, again, as I mentioned, that we're going to be discussing his brand new book, and I'll tell you a little bit about the book just to give you a quick overview. Many of us in life spend a lot of time at our careers. The career that we choose will determine, oftentimes, in most cases, the standard of life that we are able to provide for ourselves, our children. It's going to determine where we live. It's going to determine the kind of car that we drive. It may even determine the type of woman or mate that you get, okay? Your career. A lot goes into it. People have gone to college. People have spent a lot of time wondering, what should I do? I don't know what I want to do in life. Many adults have changed careers many, many times during their lifetime. You have many people that have gone to and graduated from college only to discover that, hey, this isn't what I really want to do, and, you know, have spent a lot of time and energy and money in search of the answer to the question, what do I want to do? What am I good at? What should I be doing? A person's career is really, you're going to spend a lot of time at your job. Many times you might spend more time at your job than you do at home. So finding the correct career for your life is paramount. I mean, it is one of the most important decisions that you will ever, ever make. And a lot of times people don't view it from that perspective, and they end up in going into careers that they regret, going to jobs that they hate, you know, which, of course, can cause other problems in their life. They come home angry with their, you know, and they take it out on their families and their children. So this is one of those decisions, very far-reaching effects. So when determining that, you need to look at it from a perspective that almost a scientific perspective. So with that in mind, I want to get to my special guest. Again, as I mentioned, we're talking about his brand-new book. Let me give you the title of it. It's called Finding a Career for Life, The Road to the Top by Professor Joseph Geiger. Professor, welcome back to Health, Wealth, and Divine. Wow, you got a brand new book. Wow. And as I'm looking at it and going through it, I can see that this is going to be a very, very powerful, very, very informative series. I really appreciate you coming on and being my guest again today.
Thank you very much for having me in. I'm pretty excited about this. This is something that I've thought about for some time, and it was really sparked by students that I had in the entrepreneurship area. And over and over and over again, I heard people say that they started doing things, they started their careers, and it didn't work out the way they hoped it would. And I think one of the major reasons is that nobody had ever gone through with them how to make this kind of decision. Unfortunately, it's made at a very young age when we're least able to make really important life-changing decisions when we're young and we don't have a whole lot of experience, and yet the decision we make when we graduate high school very often has repercussions for the next 40 or 50 years. So it's pretty helpful if you have a way of getting the information to make a really good decision for you. And that's kind of the reason that I wrote the book.
You know what I think is very, very interesting about the fact that you even wrote this book is because your prior book, which, of course, again, as I mentioned to the listeners, we're actually going through this book principle by principle, Entrepreneurial Success, 102 Business Principles, The Road to the Top, is about entrepreneurship. And it's a roadmap. It's a guide to helping people who are entrepreneurs get the best out of that experience and gives principles that which, if followed, can really save people a lot of time, a lot of energy, and a lot of money, and help people to succeed as an entrepreneur. But now this book, this brand new book, Finding a Career for Life, isn't necessarily talking about entrepreneurship. That's not the focus of the book, but actually breaking down and giving statistics and helping people to find a career that's best for them. And oftentimes when people think of a career, you know, entrepreneurship isn't the first thing that comes to mind. Oftentimes when people think of a career, they think of a high-paying job, preferably. So I just think that the differences between the two books, it really shows that you're doing this to give information, you know, because on the one hand, I know that you love entrepreneurship. You've been doing that for over 50 years, you know, but here you write a book, you know, telling people how they can actually find a job that if, for example, entrepreneurship is not for them, then you still got to make a living. So finding a job that is suitable for them is paramount. I think that's interesting, just the fact that you wrote a book on entrepreneurship and now this book is on how to find a career for life.
Yeah, it's really more than a job. This is a career. This is what you're going to do. Now, that what you're going to do may be a job, may not be a job. And the whole tenor of this book is to help people make decisions. I take no position in what you should do. I mean, I love entrepreneurship, but I also fully understand it's not for everybody, for sure. But how do you go about choosing a career when, let's say, you're a junior or a senior in high school or starting college, or frankly at any age, but those are the two big age groups. And the book is written for high school and college kids, so it is an easy read. It is really trying to attack this finding a career business in a very logical way. Having spent 55 years and 11 businesses now trying to make decisions, and when you're in a business, you get lots of them that you have to make. You learn how to do it in a very organized way. And there is hardly a bigger decision in one's life than to pick a career. So how do you go about doing that? What are the principles to start with, and what are the what is the information that you need to choose a career? And that's what it's all about. It's a pretty short book. There's only 75 numbered pages and a total of 85 pages in the whole book, including the Roman numeral ones and the very first of it. So mm-hmm. it's short. It is rather intense, but it's also a really easy read. Somebody can sit down and read it through in probably a couple of hours, and they're probably going to be a long way from digesting it, but they can get through it and then start back again if they so desire and try to learn from this. So why don't we get into it and at least get the first few principles, or really there's only two that I could call principles. They're principles for finding a career, and there are just two of them. And then after that, there's all kinds of data and information upon which you can build your decision.
Sounds like a winner, Professor. Okay, let's go. We're starting with chapter one, everybody, and again, we'll tell you how you can get this book during the process of the show. Chapter one, we'll call it a principle. Two principles for finding a job for life. Do what you love and what you are good at doing. Professor?
Yeah, I think that is something that many of the books and the information about finding a career for life focus on the financial part. But I think you need first, before anything else, to focus on the psychological part. If you're psychologically happy with what you're doing, then your chances are that you're going to do it very well, and the financial part will work out to your expectations. But if you're not psychologically happy about what you're doing, the odds are that it's not going to work out. So the position I took was, let's do that first. So the very, very first page one, chapter one, is do what you love and what you're good at doing. I was very fortunate in that I picked what I really love to do, and I picked it before I ever got to college, although I didn't really understand that I did that. I picked entrepreneurship, and that's what I particularly loved. But you ought to pick what you love. What other people say about it, just forget about that. My dad wanted me to be a geologist, and that's great and wonderful. But the truth is that what's really important is what you want, not what other people want, just what you want. So try to pick an area that you think you want. And in this book, we'll have all kinds of information on how others how they enjoy or don't enjoy what they're doing. And that will be a benchmark for you. But first, you need to know what you want. So what do you want? Why do you want it? What are your really fundamental interests? Are you somebody who loves taking care of people? So you might make a great nurse or a great doctor. Are you somebody who likes to build things? Are you somebody who likes to make things run? Whatever it is that you like. Are you a people person? Mm-hmm. Whatever that is. And what I say in the book, I try to take absolutely no position on anything, just the information. So what do you want? And whatever you want, that's what you ought to do. And right after that, you need to understand what the skill sets are, what you're going to do. And the second principle is learn a marketable skill. And it doesn't, again, it makes no difference whether you want to be a janitor, a lawn guy, a builder, an inventor, a nurse, whatever it is, you have to have marketable skills. Because fundamentally, what a employer is looking for when they're trying to fill a need is somebody who has a skill set that will help the employer achieve the business goals that they have. And if you don't have that skill set that that employer needs, you're not a prospect. And if you do have it, you are a prospect. So it's as simple as that. It needs to be a marketable skill. So we will dive in here very shortly to try to find out what skills, what areas are marketable. So if you get a skill set that there is no market for, well, then you're kind of out of it. You're not going to succeed. There was a really good survey done by CNN Money and the Money Report. And CNN in 2011 and 2012 talked to several thousand graduates right out of college, and they asked them, what you doing? And what they found was that 6 months after graduation, that 41% were working jobs that did not require a degree of any kind. Not a degree that they had, but any kind of a degree. In other words, it did not require any kind of higher education, of college. And another 11% were simply unemployed. So let's do a little quickie math here. That means that 52%, over half of graduates, had spent 4 years. They had an education. They had, in many cases, a whole lot of debt. Today, the average is over $35,000 that they had to worry about. And here they had a job that they could have gotten right out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
That's sad.
Yeah.
That is very, very sad. What that tells you is that these people got educations and got degrees that had no commercial value. They had skills, but they had no market for those skills. So once you decide basically what you want to do, then you need to try to find where you can get a marketable skill in that general area. And it's really that simple, because employers are looking for people with skills. When you hear some liberal arts professor tell you that no, what they're looking for is somebody who has a liberal arts education, and the employer will take the position that you find somebody with a good liberal arts education, well, then they'll teach them the skill they needed. When I got out of college in 1960, that was true. By 1980, that was not true. And what is happening since 1980 is people, employers, whether they be in government or where they be, they are looking for people who have a skill set that helps them achieve their goals. And that's all one can say about it. It's pretty simple stuff.
Well, let me ask you this, and this is going back to the, you know, do what you like, I guess, principle. Now, and again, as you mentioned, the book is targeted for anybody can benefit from it, targeted towards juniors and seniors in high school. Now, you might take somebody, you know, as, you know, that's still young. I mean, they're very young. I mean, they haven't been on the planet 20 years yet, you know.
Yeah.
And we know that as we grow, that oftentimes our tastes change. For example, even in a mate, for example, a girl might, as a junior in high school, she might like a guy just solely based on the fact that he's the captain of the football team, you know, with no consideration of anything other than the fact that he's popular. You know, a guy might look at a girl and like her simply because he likes the tight jeans that she wears, you know, whereas maybe at 30, he might not be basing his choice in a mate just based on, you know, the tightness or the looseness of the clothes that she wears. My point here is that at that age, people are still trying to find out who they are, what they like, what they don't like, and what they might like at, say, 17 to 18, they might not necessarily like they may, but not necessarily like at, say, 20 or 30. So if somebody is basing their career choices then at that age on what they like, you know, that might change. And if they, and I'm just throwing this out there because I know that, you know, just with you having the wisdom and the experience that you have, I'd like to hear your response. So what would you say to that end? Again, how people, let's say, for example, you take somebody 17 or 18 and they say, okay, hey, I want to be an artist. I can draw. People always tell me I can draw good, and that's what I want to do. I read Professor Geiger's book. I want to be an artist. Well, I know you're going to give the stats in the book, so, but, you know, that might not be, they might not necessarily have the talent to be, say, a Van Gogh or a painter or something like this. So what would you say to that?
Well, I think there's two kinds of likes. The like of a guy who likes the cute cheerleader and the girl who likes the captain of the football team, these are sort of superficial likes. What I'm talking about here is more than superficial. What deep down inside do you really like that really works for you? And you may not know. Hopefully you'll have some general areas, but you may not know. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, okay. I heard some noise on the phone. So you may not know what very specifically what it is, but what I suggest here to start with is you find general areas that you like. Are you a people person or not? I mean, some of us are, some of us aren't. I think in my case, I'm really not much of a people person. There are those who cannot stand to be alone. And there are those who enjoy being alone. And that's the sort of fundamental stuff that I think you ought to recognize in yourself. So do you need others around you? Are you a follower or are you a leader? I'm not suggesting one is good and one is bad. They're just facts. Are you or aren't you? Are you the kind of person who takes over an argument, or are you the one who sits back? As a professor, one of the things that is very difficult to do is to get people in a class to participate. And what you find in a class, if you have a class of 20, maybe there's two people, perhaps even three, that ask most of the questions, but the others just don't. And that says something about them. So that's the sort of thing that I'm suggesting. Don't try to be specific. When you're graduating from high school, I'm not suggesting that you should know for absolute certain that you want to be a modern dancer or you want to be a petroleum engineer. You probably at that stage don't really know. But maybe you're beginning to get some inklings about the general areas. And all I'm saying is you ought to think about this. And I would suggest that the vast majority of juniors and seniors in high school in the first couple of years of college haven't ever thought about it. And you ought to start thinking about it. What fires your rocket deep down inside? Mm-hmm. What really do you like? And whatever you really like, you ought to remember that and see if you can find a career that incorporates that kind of fundamental liking.
You know, Professor, it's so interesting that, you know, this book is really, really going to be very helpful to a lot of people because it is going to start people that thought process for young people to start thinking about things that traditionally they haven't been thinking about. You know, when you're a senior or just a junior in high school, many people aren't thinking about what they're going to be doing after they get out of high school, you know, and many people don't do anything after they get out of high school. They just, you know, languish around for a few years until as they quote, find end quote themselves and find out what it is that they want to do. And I think for so many young people, it's important for them to know, especially at that age, that, hey, look, in a couple of years, maybe even next year, you will be considered legally grown. Okay, legally grown. And, you know, playtime, you know, is really, really over. And you can really enhance your life by taking steps now, serious steps based on facts, not just, you know, wants and desires, but based on facts that can really impact your life. And these next couple of years are going to impact your life in a way that you have no idea. And so I think that this book is really going to help so many people with that. The next principle you have here is learning a marketable skill. Can you talk about that? I mean, because like you touched on, people are going to pay for that. People are going to pay for what it is that you know.
Absolutely. That's what they're going to pay to know. And you need to learn a skill that has a market. And starting in the next chapter, I begin to narrow that down. It's kind of like sliding down a funnel. And there's a whole lot of funnels. They start really big and they narrow down. So learning a marketable skill. What are the marketable skills? Well, there are all kinds of them. And who is the market? So before you could choose a marketable skill, maybe you ought to have some idea of what the markets are. And frankly, let's move on to the second chapter and the first page in that. I think it's, it's page number 3. So in that, I look at what are the most in demand of a 4-year college major. Now, I'm not suggesting here that you should immediately think about a college. Absolutely not. But if you use that, then you can from there get an idea of what are the markets. And the biggest markets are there's 6 of them here that I list. And they're not anything for me. They actually come from NBCNews.com, and it was a program that NBC News did to try to tell people what are the most in-demand markets for a college. Now, that also means that they're also going to be the same most in-demand for high school, and they're frankly the same in-demand for high school. So what are they? They start out with 31% of all the most in demand are in business. And then there's another group that are all in the sciences, computer science, engineering, health science, and math. And all of those, and really engineering technology. So a third of all of them are in business, and most of the rest of them are in engineering. So from that, you can detect that if you decide you want to go outside of those 4, that doesn't necessarily mean that you ought to or you ought not to. That you have to stick with one of these 6 areas. What it does say that is if you want to get a degree in women's studies or in modern dance or in something else, fine. That's great. And if that's what you really have your heart set on it, go for it. However, you should understand that $35,000+ of education that you're going to have to pay off is going to be more difficult to pay off if you don't have a good paying job. Mm-hmm. And what it says is that these 6 areas are where the good paying jobs are. They may not be what you want, but that's where they are. Now, somebody can go into other things. You can go into music. And maybe you'll be a hit music person and make hundreds of millions of dollars. It's like saying that I really love football, and so I have my heart set. I'm going to be a major league football player. and a tiny, tiny fraction of really good football players actually make it to the major leagues. But you're talking about a very tiny fraction. If you're good enough to do it, goody for you. But the odds are you won't be. So what you need to do is find a skill that meets a market. So you need to find out where the markets are. And they don't necessarily require a college education, as we're going to see here shortly.
You know what's interesting, Professor, is that, you know, because as I'm listening to you and I'm looking at the list here, you know, of course, there's, like you mentioned, there's no, you know, no sports on the list. Of course, no music is on the list. No art is on the list or whatever. But then you have people who are born with certain skills and talents. You know, somebody might be extremely analytical, you know, left brain. You know, they might be extremely analytical. Somebody else might be, you know, very, very creative, a right brain thing, you know. And we know that the people that make money, okay, for example, you might take somebody who's an engineer or a computer science, got a degree in computer science, or they may be a physician, okay. But when they relax and they want to be entertained, they may go to a symphony, you know, and hear people that have gone to school, you know, for the violin or the viola or whatever. Or when they, or if you go to a physician's home, it may be laid out with art, you know, by, you know, expensive art that some creative person, you know, actually went to school and learned how to paint or whatever. So it's just very, very, very interesting. And I know that, like you mentioned, it's like, hey, look, I'm just giving you the facts, the facts and nothing but the facts, you know. So if you, you're not telling somebody, hey, don't go to school to learn the piano, and you might be talented and you might be gifted as a concert pianist, but, you know, you're not saying that the stats, well, the stats don't bear that out. You know, you're going to be, the odds of you making it is very, very slim. So I assume what you're saying is that, hey, listen, everybody's not going to be a concert pianist. And you could be an excellent pianist and still not make a lot of money. Or you could go on to become, a concert pianist or a professional football player. You could be the next, you know, superstar on the football field or the basketball field or the tennis field or whatever. But I just want to give you the stats so that once you make this choice, you're armed with information and you're not deluded. Is that basically it?
Pretty much it. What I want people to do after they read this book is make an informed choice, understanding that whatever they pick, it would be very helpful for if they like doing it or found a way to like doing some portion of it. If you're one, I've been very blessed in my life. I see these people all the time that say, thank God it's Friday. I went through life saying, thank God it's Monday, because I enjoyed doing so much what I was making a living at, that Friday to me was not a particularly good day, and that may sound crazy, but it wasn't, because I couldn't do what I really like to do. And it doesn't make any difference what it is that you like. If you can find a way of making a living doing what you really like, you're going to live a blessed, blessed life. And chances are you're going to do it extremely well, whatever it is. Doesn't make any difference whether it's playing the piano or building businesses. Whatever it is, if you like it, you're probably going to do a pretty darn good job at it. So you try to find out where the markets are so you can learn a skill that's good for one of those markets. And if you like it, then terrific. If you don't like it, at some point you're probably going to say, I don't care how much it pays, I hate this. And I'm going to work and I absolutely detest it. That's not going to work out for you in the long haul. So if somebody says, well, you can't go into the ballet because you can't make a living at it, there's a fairly well-known story of a young college kid, girl, who wanted to be a ballerina. And she found out, she went to college and found out that she was pretty good at it, but if you want to do it commercially, you can't be pretty good at it. You have to be extraordinary at it. And there just wasn't a way for her to make a living. So she thought back, and what is it in the ballet and so on that just absolutely antagonized me, had problems? So one of the things was finding clothes, shoes, which are very unusual, that would fit. So she started a little business, and she hit the jackpot, and she did very, very well. Now, her business required business skills, but what did she do? She made clothing for the ballet. So she absolutely loved it. She was still in the ballet, but she wasn't performing. But she was still doing what she loved to do. So that's the kind of thing I'm talking about.
You know, and I'm sure that at some point of this book, we'll touch upon that, and that is finding a niche. You know, actually finding that thing that you can do and bring to the table that, you know, sets you apart, that you specialize in, that really enhances, that can get have people coming and beating your door down for the business. And like you just gave a perfect example of the ballerina who found her niche, and, you know, that was what she became successful at. She was still in the same business, or shall I say arena, for lack of a better term, the ballerina, and still loving what she was doing and making money at it, too. So, did you want to move into the four?
I think what we'll do is we'll go through this, and then we may come back and touch on some of these as we go through. But let's do the next group, which are the 10 best and the 10 worst for your college majors. And again, I want to warn the listeners that I'm not talking about college majors. I'm talking about the 10 best and the 10 worst earning careers, types of careers. So what are those? What are the 10 best? Well, as it turns out, 8 of the 10 are in engineering. One is in medicine, pharmaceuticals. And that is being a pharmacist. It's number 2. And number 3 on the list is mathematics and computer sciences. Number 1 is a petroleum engineer. And we'll see the petroleum engineer pop up a couple of times later on. Those are the 10 best. They're all in, all but 8 of the 10 are in engineering. And then 2 are, one's in medicine and one's in computers. The 10 worst are all in liberal arts. And let me go through those. Counseling and psychology, early childhood education, religious studies, human services for community organizations, social work, drama, theater and the arts, studio arts, communication disorders, visual and performing arts, and number 10 on the list is health and medical preparatory programs. So let's go back to number 1 on the worst. Counseling and psychology. Would you believe that almost 10% of all of the students who graduate from liberal arts school have a degree in psychology? And that is number 1 on the list of the lowest earning majors.
Wow.
Now, I can't help but believe the counselors and people in liberal arts colleges understand that there are no jobs for a bachelor's degree in psychology. There aren't any. As it turns out, there aren't any for a master's degree. If you go on and get a PhD, you can teach psychology, and there are very few jobs in industry. But they probably are going to go to the heads of psychology departments at major universities. So
I bet
what
you,
we
Professor.
Have here is 10% of the young people, and we're talking about thousands upon hundreds of thousands of people who spent 4 years learning about this, coming out and thinking that they're going to find a job, and there are no jobs. Is that enough to make you cry?
That's definitely enough to make you, if not cry, to make you, it should make you pause for
yeah.
sure. If
yep.
you're thinking about going to school for that, and I'm actually, you know, thinking there are probably a lot of people that would find that psychology would be listed under liberal arts. You know, I'm
yeah,
sure
it
people
is.
Would. You know, wow.
It is listed under liberal arts. And if you look at liberal arts schools, and look at the 5 or the 10 most popular majors, you're going to find psychology in that group on almost all of them. And yet every darn one of them knows full well that their graduates in psychology are not going to find any jobs. I have a very, very dear friend. As a matter of fact, he was one of the ones who wrote, Jim Douglas is his name, and he wrote a blurb for my first book, and we stayed pretty close in touch. He was a banker, and when I wrote this, and he hit this, he read it because I asked him to go over and see what he thought. He hit that, and he called me right back, and he said, I have a niece who got a bachelor's degree in psychology, and she got out, and a year later, she finally decided that there were no jobs for a bachelor's in psychology. So you know what she did? She got a master's in psychology. And she got the master's from University of Pennsylvania and the bachelor's from Smith College. Both of them very expensive, prominent colleges. And she had just graduated from the master's when I wrote this, and he saw it, and he said, God, what can I say? And she had been out, she'd graduated, she was about 3 months out after graduation, because it was this early spring, or early summer, rather, and he said, she's finding the same thing as she did as a bachelor's, and now what's she going to do? And I said, well, you know, if you want to get a PhD in psychology, at least she can teach in some schools. But that's where it's at. And
wow.
Really, the sad thing about it is every single person who she talked to about that should have known. If they didn't know, they should have known that there are no jobs. So if you got your heart set on getting a degree in psychology, go for it. But please understand that when you get out, you're going to have a hard, hard time making a living with that degree.
Everybody, my special guest is Professor Joseph T. Geiger. This already is starting. We're just getting started. You know, we're just getting started. And this is a fabulous, fabulous interview and the beginning of a great series, everybody. The book is called Finding a Career for Life, The Road to the Top by Joseph Geiger. And Geiger is G-E-I-G-E-R. Professor, let's tell them. I don't want to wait till the end of the show. We can tell them now how they can get this book. I mean, I can tell already that this is going to be a powerful, powerful series, and I know that people are going to want this book. Because, again, although Professor is going to go down the different areas, you want the book. You know, you want to be able to give it to that young person in your life that I mean, you can actually help to change the course of a person's life. This is one of those books. So, Professor, how can someone, they're hearing this information and they're like, wow, I need the book. How can they get it?
Well, you can get it at Amazon.com, and you can get it from me at theroadtothetop.com. And if you go to theroadtothetop.com and hit right there, it'll be right in front of you. Both books will be. But this one in particular is the one we're talking about. And it's a very expensive book. It's $9.95, less than 10 bucks. So it's going to cost you about the same as a good meal at a fast food place. That's what it'll cost you. And
you know,
it will change your life.
I think you need to go up on the... I think you need to go up on the last one.
Well, you know, the truth is that I've got to sell these books if I'm going to make any money by the tens of thousands. And because the difference in cost between this book, which is 85 pages total, and the other one, which is 345 pages total, is not all that much, but the difference in price is a lot. But I feel really strongly about this. I want to get it going, and I want to have young people throughout the country take a look at it and try to make better decisions. It really upsets me when I see all these young people getting degrees and going to school and getting nowhere. Right now we're in the middle of a political campaign, and there's been several people who have talked about making sure that everybody in the country has at least a degree from a community college. And after writing this book and spending months and months doing research, my first question is, to what end do you want them to do that? Why do you want them to do that? And I think if I ask that question, they would give me a blank stare and they'd say, of course you have to have that in order to make it in this country. Well, the truth is, of course you don't. What you'll find in this book, that there's 35 different professions that you can go into, careers you can go into without any college, that make a very good living. Of the 20 most secure jobs, 5 of them do not require any college education. 5 of the most secure jobs. In other words, there's the lowest unemployment is with people who do not have a college education, who pick these jobs.
You know, I think that what that comes from, Professor, is the next quote, logical, end quote, conclusion, because there's a commercial out, and people have probably seen it, and at least in the Virginia area, there's a commercial out that's talking about that, and it's the whole point of the commercial is for people to go back, if you haven't gotten your high school diploma, go back and get your high school diploma, because over the course of your working life, you can make like maybe $300,000+ more with a high school diploma than you can without a high school diploma. So I think that that train of thought carries over with people because they figure, well, if that's true, then if I get a bachelor's degree, then that will guarantee that over the that might double. That means I could possibly make $600,000+ more. You know what I mean? So I think that that's probably where that train of thinking is coming from.
Well, I think that probably is, and I think I would agree with the high school, but I do not agree with the necessity of a college. Now, I have a college education. I have a bachelor's, and I wished I had a master's, just because if I had a master's, it'd be easier for me to get a teaching job at a major college, and not to make a living, just because I enjoyed doing it. But because I don't have a master's degree, any of the four-year colleges will just not take me. Most of them require a PhD in mm-hmm. the fields that I know I could get by with a master's, but because I don't have a master's, they won't, and there are some reasons for it, and I won't go into those, but they won't. But as far as making a living is concerned, of the most secure jobs where 25% require no college at all, that's telling you something. Mm-hmm. And this business mm-hmm. that the more degrees you have, the better off you are. As it turns out, if you look at the best paying job or career for people with college bachelor's, master's, MBAs, and PhDs, the best paying profession, the best paying career requires only a bachelor's. And the next closest, the bachelor's in that career, makes $40,000 a year more than the next closest.
Mm.
And the next closest actually is a master's.
Wow.
So there's all kinds of surprises in this. I had some surprises. I thought I had a pretty good handle on what it was going to be like, and I got to tell you, when I got into this, I had surprise after surprise that I was wrong, and the facts, the data just did not support what I thought was right.
Well, did you want to take another one, Professor? Did you want to go? We were on the list here. Did you want to take like the next? I guess you gave
Let's do one more.
Okay.
What we've done here so far is college degrees, and let's see. Those came. This last one came from Georgetown.ed. So it's Georgetown University.ed, and they did a subject and the study they did. It's what's it worth the value of college majors, and that's where this top 10 best and 10 worst come from. The next group is the most where are the most new jobs? Yeah, what we're doing here is we're looking into the future, and if you're a high school senior or a freshman in college, you're trying to peer into the future for the next 40 or 50 years. So where are the most new jobs? Now, this is from the U.S. Department of Labor Statistics. So it's BLS.gov. And so this list is from the feds and the federal mm-hmm. government. And they don't care. They have no agenda. This is pure data, because it's a Bureau of Labor Statistics. So this is just pure old statistics. So where are the most new jobs in the next 10 years, from 2016 to 2025? And this was done as of December the 17th of last year. So it's as current as I just looked it up. As a matter of fact, in preparation for our talk tonight, to find out if it's changed, and it has not changed. This is so there are 20 of these of the, and so in other words, if you're going to pick a career area, don't pick one in a dying profession. For example, you may have had your heart set on being a writer for a newspaper, but I got to tell you, I know a bunch of them because I mean, being able to talk to people who can help you with publicity is important to me. Mm-hmm. And every single one of them tell me that they're in a dying profession, and as somebody retires, they are not replaced. And it doesn't make any difference whether you're talking about the Richmond Times-Dispatch or the New York Times or the Washington Post or where it is. That is a dying profession. So if you go get a degree in being a newspaper writer, that's fine. Make sure if you want to do it, great. Just understand that you're buying into a dying profession, and it's going away.
Well, let's say, for example, let's just stay there for a second, because I guess that the title would probably be journalism.
Yep.
And in journalism, there may be, well, they may feel like, okay, well, if I don't get a job as a newspaper writer or whatever, writing for the whatever, hey, I'll just, you know, I'll become a broadcaster. I'll become a TV anchor or whatever. What would your thoughts be on that?
They're all dying professions. So far you've talked about dying professions. And the reason they're dying professions is the Internet has taken over much of the information distribution throughout the country and the world. So there are more stations than there were 50 years ago. For darn sure, because 50 years ago there was 3 television stations, and now there's all kinds of them. But as far as a profession is concerned, it is not a growing profession. It's a dying profession. What has happened is newspapers, where it used to be everywhere, every little town in the country had one, and I grew up in Newton, Kansas, and there was a newspaper there, the Newtonian, and they probably had 30 employees. Well, years ago, it disappeared. So all those 30 employees went elsewhere. And maybe some of them went into electronic news, television, or radio. But it's all a dying profession because of the Internet, which now can distribute news instantaneously. The problem with a newspaper is that regardless of how fast they get the news out, it's old news by the time you get the paper in the morning, because television has already talked about it. And frankly, the reason that television has a problem is because by the time you watch it in the evening, it's been all over the Internet. So it's not news anymore. So the Internet has destroyed journalism. Because information gets out so fast.
Mm-hmm. Everybody, I know that you're enjoying this conversation, and I want to encourage everybody to make sure that you get the book, okay, so that when we come back, Professor's going to be back, by the way, next Wednesday. We're going to be doing this each Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m. as we go through the book. Again, the book is titled Finding a Career for Life, The Road to the Top by Professor Joseph Geiger. Also want to plug other book, awesome book, for entrepreneurs. Okay, if you're an entrepreneur out there and you're just hearing this show for the first time, definitely scroll down the archives. We're still in the process of going through his other book called Entrepreneurial Success, 102 Business Principles, The Road to the Top, Principle by Principle. And you can get both of these great books by going to theroadtothetop.com. Again, that's theroadtothetop.com. Books are both by Professor Joe Geiger. That's G-E-I-G-E-R, Geiger. You definitely want to take advantage of this information. This book, the one we're talking about tonight, is less than $10, okay? Finding a Career for Life can save you God knows how much money and time and energy. The other book, 1995, if I'm not mistaken. Correct, Professor?
Entrepreneurial. It's 1795. Yep,
okay, 1795.
Maybe
wow.
I should raise the. Let me plug both of these. The big difference between my books, these two books, and others, is the information in it. I tried. The reason I wrote Entrepreneurial Success is because the books I'd read and my students were working off of them. There was very few things in there that we in business call actionable. So they would present a principle or an idea, and you'd say to yourself, well, how do I put that in action? How do I actually do that? And the question, after you thought about it for a while, well, it wasn't actionable. There was no way for me to do it. The same thing is true of this book, is I want it to be actionable. I want people to go through it and say, wow, the information he gives is actionable. I can make a decision based on this information, and the information is true. It is from non-biased sources. It's not opinion. He's not promoting anything other than giving me, the reader, the information that I need to make an intelligent decision.
And you know what's interesting, Professor, is that the book just re-enhances and reinforces one of the principles in entrepreneurial success, which is all decisions must be data-driven.
Correct.
And so you're giving data, okay? So when people are making decisions, there's nothing like, I mean, it's especially when you're coming out of high school, you know, and you're trying, you're standing, that's a crossroads. That's one of those crossroad times in your life where you're standing there and you've got intersections going every which way. Where do I go? Do I go to the service? Do I go to college? What do I want to do? What do I want to study? So you need all the data that you can get, especially at a trying time like that. You need all of the information, all of the data, up-to-date data, that's going to help you to make a decision that, because you want to make successful decisions. And so many people, you don't want to shoot an arrow in the dark and try to hit the bullseye. All your decisions should be data-driven. Professor, I want to thank you again for this, just the books, both of them, but again, for agreeing to do this awesome series that we're already, it's awesome already. I mean, just, we've only done one show, and it started off terrific. Finding a Career for Life, The Road to the Top by Joseph Geiger. Any parting words for our listeners before we close the first show?
Two, buy the book and tune in next week.
Awesome. Everybody, don't forget. If you got young people in your life that you know need this, whether it's a child, a grandchild, these are decisions that are very, very, very important. They can really enhance the quality of your life by making a choice that's based on facts. So much information is out here. You need facts, up-to-date, reliable sources. So I encourage everybody to get the book. Again, go to theroadtothetop.com and get both of them. I mean, you can get both of these books for $30, less than. So, again, that's Finding a Career for Life, The Road to the Top by Joseph Geiger, and Entrepreneurial Success, 102 Business Principles, The Road to the Top. Again, Professor, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. I look forward to our next show next week.
Good show. Talk to you then.
All right. Everybody,
yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Professor Joseph T. Geiger. Awesome, awesome interview. Again, as I mentioned at the top of the show, when you are trying to make a decision, you need the facts. And what you're going to do for a living, that, if you understand that early age, then that can save you so much time, so much energy. Many people that are listening to this show right now are not doing, from a career standpoint, what they went to school for or what they thought they were going to be doing when they graduated from high school. And so that you aren't just taking down any old path, you know, why not get the facts? I mean, college might not be for you, period. Okay? Well, there's another book written by Professor Geiger, Entrepreneurial Success, The Road to the Top, 102 Business Principles. With both of these books, and I don't want to say in your library, but in your hand, and you actually have odds of doing something that you love and are good at and getting paid for and getting paid to do. Now, let me say this. I'm going to repeat myself because at the top of the show, I mentioned that the career choice that you make can impact the quality of your life, because we're talking about money here, okay? We're talking about doing something and getting paid for what it is that you do. The more you get paid, then the better place you're going to be able to live, raise your children, all kinds of things. The more you'll be able to spend your leisure time doing what it is that you want to do. Is money everything? Of course not. But everybody that's listening to this show, don't you wish you had more of it? Think about it. Don't forget, next week, Professor Geiger. Everybody, my name is Jawanza. Thank you so much for your time. Who am I? I am the one who, in giving, receives more.